In this week's parsha, we are introduced to the, or we hear again, the unique status that the Kohanim hold in Klal Yisrael, in the Beit HaMikdash, in the Avodat HaMikdash. And we are told, for example, that that special status finds expression in certain unique halachot. Perek Chaf Aleph, for example, the Torah tells us, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe lemor, Daber al Aharon lemor, Ish mizaracha v'dorotam, Asher yihiev omum, Lo yikrav lehakriv lachem elokav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe to tell Aharon, and this has to be conveyed to all future Kohanim, anyone among any Kohen who has a mum, some kind of blemish we'll call it, may not do the avoda. This is now Pasuk Yechet, Kichol Ish Asher Bo Mum Lo Yikrav, Ish Iver, or Pisei, or Piseach, or Harum, or Sarua. Anybody who has, who is blind, or lame, or whatever the story is, a person's nose, a problem with their nose, a person, problem with a limb, Shever Regel, Shever Yad, all different kinds of problems, Gibein, Dak, things like that. Any problem, sort of a permanent, so to speak, physical mum, a Kohen is not allowed to do the Avoda in the Beit HaMikdash. And one can ask a very simple, very general question, why? Why can't a Kohen serve in the Beit HaMikdash if he's able physically to do the avoda, to shecht? Of course, shechting is also, shechit is also ksheira bizarre, but if a Kohen is able to collect the blood, if a Kohen is able to bring the blood to the Mizbeach, if a Kohen physically is able to sprinkle the blood, if a Kohen is physically able to clear the ashes, if a Kohen is physically able to clean the menorah, etc., etc., if they're physically able, so why does it matter to me what they look like? Since when in the Torah ever does the Torah ever care about what we look like? That's going to be question number one. I'd like to leave that question aside and raise a few more questions. The Rambam, as we know, wrote his Mishnah Torah, and his Mishnah Torah is made up of 14 Sfarim, Yad HaChazaka, Yud Dalet, Yad HaChazaka, Sefer Hamada, Sefer Ahava, Sefer Zmanim, etc. This eighth sefer is called Sefer HaAvodah, and in the Sefer HaAvodah, the Rambam lists the halachot of the Beit HaMikdash, Hilchot Beit HaBechira, and Hilchot Psulei HaMukdashim, and Hilchot Avodat Yom HaKippurim. The second set of halachot in this sefer, in the Sefer of Avodah, is called Hilchot Klei HaMikdash V'ha'ovdim bo, the halachot of the kelim in the mikdash and of the people who work in the mikdash. And that's exactly what the Rambam spends these 10 prakim in. Hilchot klei hamikdash v'ha'ovdim bo. This is what he discusses. So in prakim aleph and bet, the Rambam discusses the halachot of the various kelim used in the mikdash and what happens if something happens to them. That's it. Out of the 10 prakim of Hilchot Klei HaMikdash V'Av Ovdim Bo, only the first two prakim deal with the actual kelim. The next eight deal with HaOvdim Bo, the people who work in the Mikdash. And it's the people we would expect and the halachot that we would expect. Perek Gimel discusses the halachot of Levim. Prakim Dalet and Hay discuss the halachot of Kohen Gadol and Kohanim in general. Perek Vav, discusses the halachot of Anshei Ma'amad, the halachot of the Yisraelim that have a job in the Mikdash, near the Mikdash, all the time. Perek Zayin discusses the Mimunim, those 15 special appointed positions in the Mikdash, such as the timekeepers, the gatekeepers, the people in charge of the other guards, the people in charge of the singers, etc., etc. And Prakim Chet, Tet, and Yud discuss the halachot of Bigdei Kehuna. And this is fascinating. 8 out of the 10 chapters in Hilchot Klei HaMikdash V'Ovdim Bo are about the people who work in the Mikdash. Okay, that's very interesting. But there's a little bit more of a general question, and that is, why would the Rambam not have a separate set of halachot called Hilchot Kohanim? Or Hilchot Ovdei Beit HaMikdash, or Ovdim Beit HaMikdash? Why, or just Hilchot, and then a separate one, Hilchot Klei HaMikdash? Why would the Rambam, so to speak, lump all these together and have them all together, Hilchot Klei HaMikdash V'HaOvdim Bo. That is question number two. Question number three and a few future questions really deal with some of these halachot, and we'll take them out of the Rambam. It comes from the Gemara, comes from the Psukim. A third question is, for example, that this comes out of the Hilchot Klei HaMikdash V'Ovdim Bo Perek Chet, Halacha Dalid. The Rambam tells us that the begadim of Kohanim must be new, they must be nice, they must fit properly, they shouldn't be too short, they shouldn't be too long, too tall, too short, too baggy, too tight, they have to be fit just right. And question number three is why? Why is that the halacha? Why do we care so much that the begadim be new, fit properly, etc.? Question number four comes from also Perek Chet in Hilchot Klei HaMikdash, Halacha Zayin. The Rambam tells us that the begadim that the Kohanim wear must come from public funds. Kol bidei Kohanim einan ba'in ela mishel tzibur. And a yachid has the opportunity to donate, but a Kohen can't on his own buy a piece or all of his begadim and bring him to the mikdash. Why? Why not? Why do we care who buys the begadim? If you have the kosher begadim, they fit properly, as we saw a moment ago, that should be enough. Excuse me. That's question number four. Question number five comes from Halacha Yud Bet in that same Rambam. The Halacha tells us, the Rambam tells us, that a Kohen Hedyot is not allowed to wear his begadim unless he's doing the actual avoda. The Ravid disagrees. But the Rambam paskins, like the Mishnah in Masechet Tamid, Perek Hey Mishnah Gimel, the Mishnah there tells us that all the Kohanim who didn't, so to speak, win or were zoche for the lottery for the pais of that morning, there's many, many avodot and a few lotteries. If a Kohen doesn't win, so to speak, it doesn't merit to have any of the pais, any of the lottery, any of the jobs, he has to go back into the Lishkat Pinchas HaMalbish, and he has to remove his begadim. Why? Why is it so important that they take off their begadim? I'm not saying they should become tamei chas v'shalom. I'm not saying they can walk around and clean the house chas v'shalom. But why can't they wear their clothes when they're not doing their avoda? That's question number five. And question number six also is a very general question. Where else in the Torah do we see a religious status based on heredity and not on merit? Just because his father's a Kohen, so he becomes a Kohen? And if my father's a rabbi, I automatically become a rabbi? And if my father's a Talmud Chacham, I automatically become a Talmud Chacham? Of course not. I've got to work at it and work at it and work at it. So why all of a sudden Kohanim? It follows whatever, if their father is a Kohen, you're a Kohen. It's a fascinating phenomenon. You could theoretically have nine people in a shul. Rabbi Soloveitchik, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Rav Yitzchak Huttner, the greatest of the greats. There's nine of them. And the tenth is a 13-year-old boy whose father happens to be a Kohen. If there's laning that day, who gets Kohen? Who gets the first Aliyah? That 13-year-old Kohen. Sorry, Rabbi Soloveitchik, you have to get Levi. Sorry, Rav Moshe, you got to get Shlishi. I don't understand. Yeah, that 13-year-old boy, nothing against 13-year-old boys who are Kohanim, but who would ever give them more kavod than these great greats? When, again, in Torah, do we ever have anything purely based on merit? So to summarize again, there's a lot of questions. I wanted to ask six questions. Question number one, we said from our Parsha, why is a Kohen with a mum puzzle for the avoda? Why should it matter what a Kohen looks like? Question number two, we asked, why would the Rambam not have a separate set of halachot called Hilchot Kohanim and then a separate halachot of Hilchot Klei HaMikdash? Why would the Rambam put together Hilchot Klei HaMikdash ve'ha'ovdim bo? Question number three we asked is, why is it the halacha that the begadim have to be new and have to fit properly, etc.? Question number four, why can't the Kohen buy his own clothing? Question number five, we asked, why can't the Kohen wear his begadim when he's not doing the, why can't he wear the kahuna when he's not doing the avoda? And question number six, again, is the general question of hereditary passing along of the kahuna status. Where else do we see that, and why does that happen here by Kohanim? Perhaps one can suggest that the answer to these questions and to a general overview, a broad perspective on Kohanim, comes from a medrash on Parshat Naso. In Parshat Naso, in Bamidbar Perek Vav, the Torah tells us, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe lemor, Daber el Aharon vel banav lemor, Ko tevarachu et bnei Yisrael, Amor lahem. And those of us who are zoche to live in Eretz Yisrael hear these words every single day, Baruch Hashem. But we all hear them on the Shalosh Hagalim, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. Yivarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Hashem panav elecha v'yichunecha, Yisa Hashem panav elecha v'yaseim lecha shalom. And then the last pasuk in that section in Naso says Hashem to Moshe to tell Aharon and his children, V'samu et shmi al b'nei Yisrael, va'ani avarchem. And what does that last expression mean, V'samu et shmi al b'nei Yisrael, va'ani avarchem? What does that mean? By the way, it's interesting to note, just to think about, there's only one place in the entire Tanakh where it says the words ko tevarchu, or even the words tevarchu, you shall bless. And it's in Naso, Perek Vav. Anyway, what does it mean, V'samu et shmi al b'nei Yisrael, place my name on b'nei Yisrael, va'ani avarchem, and I shall bless them? Who is the them? It seems like it's a misplaced modifier. And all of the Mefarshim try to understand what this means. Rashi has two possibilities. V'ani avarchem, Rashi says that I'll bless B'nai Yisrael. In other words, I'll agree with the blessings of the Kohanim. Or perhaps I'll bless the Kohanim. It comes from a machlok in the Gemara, which we'll discuss in a moment. The Rashbam has a different idea that you must bless in these words and this way. You can't make up your own brachot kohanim. They have to be your own brachot. And many, many other mefarshim give their own pshat on what that means. The Sifri and many other midrashim say the following. The Sifri in Parshat Naso there, Piska Mem Gimel, says the following, Va'ani avarchem, shelo yihiyu Yisrael omrim. You have to make sure that B'nai Yisrael don't say, Birchotenu tluyot b'kohanim. My blessing is dependent on Kohanim. Talmud lomar, va'ani avarchem, says God. The bracha comes from me. The bracha doesn't come from the Kohanim. And then we continue in the Medrash, Shelo yihiyu ha'kohanim omrim, anu nevarechet Yisrael. Okay, but the Kohanim might say, it's really me. I'm the one who's bringing these brachot. Talmud lomar va'ani avarchem, ani avarech et ami Yisrael. Says the Sifri, B'nai Yisrael shouldn't think that the brachot come from the Kohanim. The Kohanim shouldn't think that the brachot come from the Kohanim. The brachot come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they are the conduit, so to speak. They're the shlichim, but they are not giving any bracha at all. The Medrash Tanchuma there in Naso, Siman Chet, says something very similarly. Amra Knesset Yisrael lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'nai Yisrael said to Hashem, Ribono shel Olam, La Kohanim ata omer shivarchu otanu. You told the Kohanim to bless us. Ein anu tzrichim ela lebirchatcha. All we want is your blessing, God. V'liotenu mitbarchim mipicha. Etc., etc. Skipping a couple lines here. And then says Amar Lema HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Afal pi shiamarti la kohanim sheyihiyu mevarchin etchem ani omeid imahem umevarech etchem. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says B'nai Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we want your brachot. And says Hashem, I am. The brachot are absolutely coming from me. And I think that these two midrashim put together, which are saying, of course, very similar ideas, might answer all of our questions. A central message, an important theme regarding Kohanim and Birkat Kohanim and the Avoda of the Kohanim in the Mikdash, is that the bracha, indeed every bracha that one receives, comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every single time someone gives you a bracha, and we'll talk about that in a couple minutes, it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Avoda in the Mikdash is for Hashem. The brachot are from Hashem. And the Kohanim must do everything they can do to be, and excuse this expression, to be invisible. They must do everything they can to deflect personal attention away from themselves, away from anything that makes them unique. They have certain unique qualities. Use them when they teach Bnei Yisrael out of the Mikdash. In the Mikdash, during the Avodah, there is to be no personal attention given to them. Sure, we honor them, but that honor must be directed to Hashem, and the honor comes because of Hashem, not to them as individuals. And perhaps this is why, for example, in question one we asked why the Kohanim cannot have any outstanding characteristics, any mumim, and why perhaps the Rambam said that we asked in question two, why isn't there a separate set of halachot according to the Rambam? The answer is no, they are kelim. They are kelim. They are people, of course, and they have to give their unique contributions, but that happens outside the Mikdash. In the Mikdash, there is to be nothing that draws attention to them specifically. Hilchot Klei HaMikdash, v'ha'ovdim bo. Perhaps this is why in question 3, the Torah insists that the begadim must be new and fit properly. Imagine a group of soldiers walking past you in a parade, and everybody's dressed exactly the same, perfectly, and all of a sudden one person has a completely different uniform. You say, what's the matter with him? What's special about him? What's not special about him? The Kohanim can have none of that. The Kohanim can have none of that personal attention directed to them. Perhaps that's why the Kohen also cannot buy his own clothing, or why a Kohen can't wear his own begadim when not doing the avoda, because they're not his. They're nothing to do with him. Neither he nor the people he blesses are to focus on him. The entire focus, everything that God gives us, is from God and God directly. And lastly, we ask this general question of why should kahuna be based on heredity, perhaps for the same reason. For most things in Torah and in life, of course, we look at one's merit and one's actions and one's efforts and one's personal accomplishments. Sure, but those are the exact things that we are trying to avoid when watching the Kohanim do the Avoda. It's not him. It's not his accomplishments. It's not his effort. It's directed solely and totally to God. And so much so that a little 13-year-old, because his father's 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 father was Aaron HaKohen, that 13-year-old gets Kohen. Rav Salvechik, you're going to get Levi. Rav Moshe, you're going to get Shlishi. Not Chas V'Shalom because anybody is greater than Rav Moshe Feinstein or Rav Salavechik or Rav Huttner or whoever. But it's because his kavod comes straight from God. And as a matter of fact, this is what the Rambam says in Hilchot Klei HaMikdash Perek Dalid, when he discusses the mitzvah to appoint Kohanim and to have them serve in the Mikdash and have us honor them. The Rambam quotes the very beginning of our parsha, Chaf Aleph Chet, V'kidashto, you must sanctify Kohanim, ki et lechem elokecha hu makriv, kadosh hi yelach, and the Torah says, ki kadosh, ani Hashem mekadishchem. The Kedusha, the specialness, the holiness, comes straight from God. Why do we honor them? Because of their connection, so to speak, to God. Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch, over there in Nusso, Perek Vav, Pasuk Chav Zayin, says it so beautifully, Kedarko Bakodesh, and I quote, "The priests do not bless Israel. Their words have no power of conferring blessing." This is Rav Hirsch. "Their mission is only V'samu et Shemi al Bnei Yisrael. The blessing itself, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I look after. Va'ani avarchem. To, quote, lay the name of God impressively on Israel, to make Israel the bearers of God's name, to impress the name God on every phase of Israel, to proclaim that Israel looks to God and to God alone for all protection, all revelation, all gifts, all elevation, and all peace." I'm skipping a little bit. "For this," says Rav Hirsch, "for this proclamation of God's name over Israel, for that, the priest is to be the instrument, to be the instrument for a nation that is to be blessed. Then, God will bless them." The Rambam, in Hilchot Tfilah, Perek Tetvav, quotes these midrashim that we quoted a minute ago, Lehalacha, says the Rambam, V'al titzma, V'tomar umato il birkat hedyot ze she'ein kibul habracha talui b'kohanim ela b'akadosh baruch hu. Don't be surprised, don't be astounded. Oh, what do I need this bracha for from a kohanim? She'ein kibul habracha talui b'kohanim, ela b'akadosh baruch hu, she'ne'emar v'samu et shemi al b'nei Yisrael v'ani avarchem. Continues the Rambam, ha'kohanim osim mitzvatan, she'nitztavu ba, v'akadosh baruch hu b'rachamav, mevarechet Yisrael k'cheftzo. Says the Rambam, Hilchot Tfila, Perek Tetvav, all the Kohanim have to do their job, and then it's the Kohanim do their job, and then it's the HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's Mevarechet Yisrael Kifcheftzo. Perhaps this perspective also explains an otherwise difficult Gemara to understand. The Gemara in Masechet Sota, Daf Lamed Tet Amar Aleph, the students of Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua asked him, I'll read it inside, Sha'alu Talmidav Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua, Bameh Ha'arachta Yamim. Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua was elderly, I imagine, and I asked him, what did you do to merit being to be able to live so long? And he answered three answers. One was, Mi'amai lo asiti beit ha-kneset kapandaria. We know the halacha is that you're not allowed to use a shul, beit midrash, for a shortcut. He said, I never did that. Two, Velo pasati al rashe am kodesh. Rashi explains that if the Talmidim used to sit on the ground, and if the Rebbe came in late, he would have to step over them, and I never did that. That's not covered for Talmidim. He came early. But the last thing that he said out of three things, the last thing was, Velo nasati kapai below bracha. Says Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua, you know what I did that made me really special? Third thing that's enabling me to live such a long life? I never gave a bracha, duchen, never went up to the duchen to bless Bnei Yisrael without making a bracha first. And the Gemara asks, "My mevarech, am Rabbi Zeira, am Rav Chizda, asher kiddushanu b'tushato shel Aharon, v'tzivanu levarech et amo Yisrael b'yava." And that's the bracha that we hear every single day here at Baruch Hashem in Israel. And the question, of course, in this last idea, that's what makes it so special, that you made a bracha. Why should the bracha be anything special, anything unique? Give the bracha, that's what's unique. And perhaps one can suggest, as we're saying, no. Because the bracha precedes, sets the tone, and reminds the Kohanim, and reminds Bnei Yisrael what is about to happen. It's not, here's my bracha. It is, Baruch Ata Hashem, what do I say? V'tzivanu levarech et amo Yisrael. You're the one that commanded me to bless Bnei Yisrael. The bracha comes from you. The bracha precedes the bracha of the Kohanim precedes the brachot of the Kohanim, because we have to remember what the bracha means. Whenever we go to Kivrei Tzadikim, we're right near Lag BaOmer. Many people, hundreds of thousands of people, are expected to go to Meiron. This is neither the time nor the place to discuss Meiron, Rav Shim Bar Yochai, and whether it's a nice idea, not a nice idea, that's not for now. But whenever we go to Kivrei Tzadikim, of course, we have to remember and realize that they're not giving us any bracha whatsoever. We're inspired, perhaps, by their lives, but we dive into a Kadosh Baruch Hu and get bracha from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And of course, whenever we get a bracha from Tzadikim, from Gedolei Hador, whoever it is, a Gedol Batorah, from our parents on Friday night, whatever it is, any bracha we receive, we have to remember that they are not really giving us that bracha, as Rav Hirsch said. It comes completely from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. May we all be worthy of carrying God's name, V'samu et shemi al b'nei Yisrael, and to receive His most gracious and bountiful blessings. Shabbat Shalom.